Blog Talk Radio.
Happy hour tonight. Those that don't know, this show is designed for all of us. Outside perspective, inside of someone else's life. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend? Buzz with the Z. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. Those that don't know, who may be listening for the very first time, and for our regular listeners and viewers as well, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. Broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time, we're broadcasting in Las Colinas, Texas, the upper echelon of Irving, Texas. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a fantastic and wonderful show. Glad you tuned in to be a part of what we're doing right here. This is just going to be awesome. And I want to just let you know that because of you, the listeners, the callers, the bloggers, our show each week just gets better, better, and better. And tonight, as you know, if you listened previous weeks, it won't be any different. Come back, and we're going to come back with a conclusion of the previous topic we talked about last week. Marriage is just a mirage. I'm ready. This part two. I want to make sure that everybody's comfortable. I want to say thank you to our Dallas-Fort Worth listeners, our live shows here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And next month, also going to be talking about one of the best reads, 11, my book that we have, Second Place Women Who Come In First. Fantastic read, ladies and gentlemen. I definitely want you to chime in. Your copy. I mean, actually, the other woman, now she slid back into number two. Definitely want you to chime in and be a part of that. HowWasYourWeekend.com coming up weekend. Weekend is going to be a big and outstanding weekend. We're talking about tips, and we talked about some things that happened. My friends and family on Facebook were chiming in about game last. You all paid attention to that show. We're going to talk about this tonight. Things about certain situations made me realize a lot of people are just messed up in their head. Don't understand going on with a strong and positive relationship. I also want to, like we're talking about weekends coming up, so this weekend we're going to post some information about this. This weekend also, ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of mine, co-host Mr. Ricky Williams, is getting married, jumping the broom into matrimonial bliss. So tonight, as you know, I'm going to participate with it, and if you know and you chimed in last week, briefly, full gamut of who she is and what her name really is. See, when you got a long name, that means you got long money. Been around to know, hey, you know, there's some things going on. Like Nobel Prize-winning Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Long name. He had a lot of power and a powerful voice. Prize-winning Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, long name. So I'm going to bring up another outstanding arcade. Not only do I have the book called Second Place Women Who Come In, author of a powerful book. Now watch. Frustrated wives happens when there's a lack of communication in the marriage. Life's gonna be hot, baby. Fire up the top one in because it's going down tonight. So without further ado, I want to bring Ms. Nicole on the line and just kind of chime in with us a little bit as we kind of go a little bit back and forth. We're on the online happy hour tonight. Nicole, how you doing?
I'm good, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm good, sweetheart. Welcome back to the show. We enjoyed you last week. Our callers couldn't stop talking about you. Our bloggers just couldn't stop talking about you as well. I hope you enjoyed yourself and enjoyed the show
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. One of my motto was don't allow fear to paralyze your voice. So I enjoy when callers call in and the questions that they ask.
That's good. That's good. Well, tonight's not going to be any different because we're just picking up on last week what we talked about, and we're going to just, you know, we kind of reiterate before we get into it. Got all these long names and these long cities out there. I know you have great handwriting to write all this down.
Handwriting is one of the things I love to do. Is writing.
Say it again.
You know, my phone, wherever I'm at, for some reason, is coming in and out. So sometimes I'm losing you. It was okay before, but now the location where I'm at, I keep coming in and out for some reason.
Okay, we will have a few callers to chime in about that, but I'd like you to position yourself to be ready. I just want to reiterate some of the things that we did talk about last week when we talked about marriage. Just what marriage is. We talked about, a little in brief, you know, about the divorce rates. Talked about the money. We need to go back more. About the romance. Really get too much about the communication or lack thereof in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I just have a relationship and a marriage because it's more complete now. So talk about that. Let's kind of go into the romance. And I want to give the listeners a little bit of information, too. I want you to call and chime in about the show. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. And also feel free to watch me on justin.tv /howwasyourweekend or /howwasyourweekend was with all of our bloggers and chatters, Blog Talk chat room, blogtalkradio.com /howwasyourweekend as well. Chat room and join the conversation. It's about to get wild tonight. I can guarantee you that. Oh.
Yeah.
Romance. Now, in your field, in your practice, when there is passionate romance or even the lack thereof in the relationship, is there a shift or something that really says, okay, you know what, I'm into this person, I gotta have you, I want it in the morning, I want it before you go to work, I want it at lunch, I want it as soon as you come back in the house, when I wake up in the morning, all of a sudden when you're in that passion, that heat, something stops. Aren't feeling it anymore. And to think, you know what, why, what do I really like about this? As the sex is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep.
Well, Andy,
so kind of touch on that a little bit if you don't mind.
No problem. One of the things that's very interesting is most people know about the romantic part, the hot, the passion, that I can't wait to get with this person. I think about them all the time. But what people fail to realize is that there's different phases of love. And when we're talking about a marriage, there's different phases that a marriage will go through also. So when you first get with that person, you are going to have that passionate part where you can't stand to be away from that person, where you just love being with them all the time. But you're also going to have those low moments also when we're talking about being in a committed relationship with someone for a long time. There are some ups and there are some downs. And so it's when you have those down times is not to jump ship, but then recognize you're going to have moments when you don't like the person, where you may just feel indifferent towards that person, and when that romance is still there, but it moves more from the romantic relationship into more of a companionate kind of a love, where this person is now your friend, you can share more things, you feel real comfortable with this person. So it's okay if you don't feel the spark every time you see that person, because there's different phases that we know that a relationship goes through. And the important thing is that people recognize that and not try to look for these cookie-cutter marriages and this idealized sense of what romance is, or it has to always be these sparks every single moment. If not, then I need to give it up and leave.
Now, let's kind of touch on that, what you said, a cookie relationship. Now, when I think of cookie cutter, I'm thinking more along the lines is it's already shaped, it's already formed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking
along
about?
Along those lines where they think it's always shaped, but more so that they think it's just one way a marriage can be. So there's so many different types of marriages. And so when I say cookie cutter, I mean there's just not one shape, meaning we all are going to have the shape of a heart. Or let's say when I make cookies, all I have is the shape of a star, so all my cookies come out in that certain shape. Marriages are not like that. There's different types of marriages. What you're looking for in the marriage is very important, and what you put into it is just as important. So that's what I mean when I say cookie cutter, that there's no one type of marriage.
Okay. Now, along with that, when you mentioned love, and that's a part of romance, a lot of people are tending nowadays to think that love is just a physical feeling, that mm-hmm. if I'm loving you and I'm all up on you and I'm bumping and grinding, everything is good, then that means I love you, because I'm mm-hmm. showing my display of affection, so to speak, not mm-hmm. necessarily my love, but my lust mm-hmm. and my affection for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you don't feel that anymore and you've gone into the relationship and, you know, you got comfortable. Mm-hmm. It was okay to perform at first, but now that you done reeled them in, you hit one too many drive-thrus and you start to, you know, pat that pouch a little bit, and you don't want mm-hmm. to hug and touch them too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they become a little grotesque, a little nasty to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mirage, because you're living more in the physical and not more of the mental and the spiritual when it comes to that part of the relationship. That in itself speaks more as a mirage than a true marriage. Would you agree?
I do, when you're looking at just the physical aspect. I mean, what we see with the eyes is very appeasing. So a lot of times, particularly when we talk about the different genders, you know, you look at your eyes and see what you like, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to get beyond that. And then when you're talking about the passionate part and then the lust, that's just it, the lust part. And so that's just your body portion. That's just your body part. That necessarily doesn't equate that with love, just because someone is embracing you and being affectionate and that kind of part, intimate with you physically, doesn't equate love. And so I think what's important is for people to be able to separate those two. Do not confuse the intimate physical lust part with love.
Okay. So is it possible to even build a strong foundation based on the physical? If that's how you met this person and that's how you got involved with them, can you lead off?
Well, it's possible.
Go ahead. I need to know this, because there's somebody that's going through it.
One of the things is, are you really being truthful with yourself? Are you going into that relationship saying, you know, I just love this person's body, I love the physical part, I love being with them physically in that kind of a sense, the intimacy, and that's all I want to get from the relationship? It depends on what the person is looking at going into the relationship. So if they're just focused on that physical part and that's what the other person is focused on also, then, yeah, they can have a physical relationship. Who's to say if it can develop into an emotional part? But it depends on what that person is looking for. And if it's just the physical aspect of it, then they'll get that part. But then what they'll find is an emotional void at times, that they're just connecting their bodies, but then are they connecting their minds and their spirits?
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. Because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people I know have built their relationships primarily on the physical.
Mm-hmm.
The way she looked at jeans and, you know, the way he may have come across with his physique and things like that. And they got together physically time and 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 time again.
True.
Until it got to the point where it's like, okay, well, we might as well tie the knot, because we've just been physical for so long. And,
yeah,
you know, who knows, a child may have come out of it, or you've just become mm-hmm. comfortable with the person enough to know that this must be the one because I'm feeling her like that.
And what you bring up, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think it's crazy. I mean, I bring up the point because they doing it.
Yeah.
I've done it. They doing it. I had to stop because the one I was connected to, man, she was thrown off. I mean, like, walking the plank all the way thrown off, and I was just in it for the physical. Stayed there a little too long, longer than I needed to. But you know what?
Uh-huh.
It happens. And no, I'm not the only one that's been going through that. I had to
uh-huh.
get out. But
something you bring up is very, it's a key point you just said is, one, people can become more of, you look at complacency, where they're just, like you said, it's comfortable. I got used to it, so I kind of fell into, well, we might as well kind of a thing. And so, one, if you're looking at it based on the physical part, what we forget is that looks fade. What happens then? What happens if the way that person's body was when you first got into the relationship is no longer the case some years down the line? And if all you have riding is the physical aspect, is what you put all of your hopes and everything into, then what do you have left when you don't have that emotional or that spiritual connection, that bond?
I'm trying to tell you, folks, it gets deep. We are just scraping off the second layer of the cake on the show. 646-727-23279. You know what? I'm saying the number. It should already be programmed into your phone. But in case you don't have it, go ahead and get that number. Also, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with a Z. We're being joined by the one and only Nicole Arcady from Rancho Cucamonga, I just like saying that, California, and talking about marriage is a mirage if I'm not ready. Before I get to the phone lines, I want to open up this one other question. So you'll be talking about lust, and there's a word that's very, very overlooked and underappreciated in a relationship that rhymes with lust. It's not rust, but trust. Keep this in mind, because a lot of people want to assume rather than trust when it comes mm-hmm. to that other person in their relationship. So they want to mm-hmm. give them a little bit more credit than need be. More women than men. I think more men kind of give you the advantage of you cool until, as opposed to I'm going to trust you all the way until you decide to make a mistake. Now, in your profession, in your practice, where do you see that difference between men and women trusting each other in relationships?
There is a difference, because when we look at genders and the way that women tend to think and are socialized, the way that men think are completely different. Men tend to be a little bit more direct. They're more looking at the eyesight is what's pleasing to them, whereas women are more emotional and need that connection there, that intimacy. And so women are more prone to take you at your word and give you a chance more so. They will do more of that you're innocent until proven guilty kind of a thing. And so they may tend to be a little bit more open because we are taught to be nurturers. We're taught to be giving. And so they unfortunately at times can make some unfair assumptions that I assume because I'm into this relationship and I'm committed and I'm not seeing anyone else, that you also are committed. But have they had that discussion? Have they had that talk? And so what I find a lot of times is women have found out that they thought that their partner was monogamous, And then they turn out that they're actually dating other people because they didn't have that talk. The woman assumed that they were exclusive and that they that the man was only seeing them because they were doing the same thing. But
wow.
then they found something completely different. So it's all, I mean, it's very important that you have a talk, and I can't stress enough how communication is very important and a very pivotal part in any type of relationship. You can't make assumptions, and you need to have realistic expectations.
Yeah, you spot on. I want to, Nicole, I want to bring this up to you. We have our bloggers in the chat room that go extra fed. I don't even know if you're in the chat room tonight, but Queen Classy jumps in the chat room, and I'm going to read this to you what she said. She said,
okay.
It's sad people would rather you be used as sexual and spiritual jump-offs than to be in one situation. They wake up later in life. It's drained them of wanting someone to sacrifice their lives to save their loneliness. Queen,
you
all right.
And
hey, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with that, Nicole. I'm going to tell you why I agree with that. I agree with that
okay.
for the simple fact because there are some people who get complacent. And you know what? I'm not excluded from this. They'll get complacent, and they'll deal with the drama just to have somebody around.
That's true. You bring up a good point. I mean, that is how some women may react, and it's sad because you have some women that will say they'll settle. They'd rather have a piece of a man than no man. And so for whatever reason, they themselves need to, one, find that love within themselves and love themselves more than they love that man so that they wouldn't allow themselves to be placed, unfortunately, in some situations that are not in their best interest. And so you do have more a sense of some women that cannot be alone. Same thing with some men where they cannot be outside of a relationship. They're used to being in a relationship with a woman. They're used to having someone there, someone taking care of them, someone looking out for their own interests, that even when they realize the situation isn't good for them, they themselves will stay there. And like you said, they can become complacent. One of the saying is easier the devil you know than the one you don't. So they know the flaws and the faults of this person, and they figure, well, I already know it. I can handle it. I'd rather stay here than to go outside because who knows what else is out there.
Right. Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
It's a lot of things. It's well,
what
comfort, and it's easy. Not just comfort, but it's easiest. I mean, a lot of people don't want to do things that are hard. We like to take the easier routes at times. And so it's easier to sit back and do nothing and just let life happen versus becoming an active participant in it, because then it's going to take a lot more work and it's going to take a lot more effort. And some people may just have a fear of failure or a fear of succeeding. And so for whatever reasons, there's multiple reasons why people just become complacent and just will allow themselves to be more of a viewer to life rather than an active participant.
Well, wouldn't you say that if they're afraid of failing and they're failing to try something new, then they're already failing by staying stuck rather than stepping out? And when you realize, okay, this ain't working, I'm hurting myself more than I'm allowing myself to grow by staying with this nutty buddy?
Mm-hmm. You know, some would venture to say that, but then there's a lot of different factors. You may have some women that have experienced a lot of emotional pain or emotional hurt, or maybe they saw the way that their dad or the men in their mother's life treated their mother, so they're expecting this kind of a relationship. They're not expecting to get much from that male. And so depending on what they viewed when they were growing up and what expectations they have, then that's why you may find that they tend to stay in those things because they think that they're not worthy of anything else, or this is how it's supposed to be because this is what they've seen and they viewed growing up.
You know, speaking of growing up, we're going to go ahead and grow up north on the phone lines tonight and go a little bit north to Michigan, you know, because I think, you know, relationships could just be really bad in Michigan as a whole because if the job market is tight and ain't nobody cars, the Lions ain't winning and the Tigers ain't making any run for the playoffs and, you know, be it the Pistons figure something out again. You know, let's get Nikki on the line from Michigan and let her chime in and talk about what's going on. Nikki, you've been listening to the show. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Nikki?
I am doing well. And Andy, first of all, okay, the job market is not that tight because I got a job offer today, right?
Okay, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And it's actually my dream job. Okay, and for real, the Lions won the last four games, so I'm going to need you to get off my team. And I just got a new car. So you know what I'm saying? It's looking up. It's looking up.
Good. That sounds good.
Things are looking up. But, yeah, I mean, the Pistons, you know, no comment. You know, I got to cut my losses somewhere. But I wanted to chime in on what Nicole said about the whole communication piece. And I think that word typically, you know, scares men off. You know, because they hear, oh, my God, it's time for me to go into that place where I don't like to go to dive into my emotions and almost be vulnerable. And men don't like doing that. So when we say communicate, there are a lot of different ways you can do that. And I think if you're with somebody in a relationship, the easiest way to do that is to figure out their love language. Some people's love language is, you know, for a man, when I come home, if dinner could be ready, that would just show me so much how much you care. If we decide to go out and you say, hey, I got it this time, you know, each man will have a different love language, so or woman. So it's up to you as their partner to try to figure out with that. Not everybody is going to appreciate or expect the same things just based on who they are. And as far as communication, I call it regrouping. When you meet someone and you guys are dating, 30 days, what are we doing? It's time to regroup. I got 5 questions I ask when I first meet a man. Are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have somebody who think they're your girlfriend? How many casual sex partners do you have? Are you gay? Period. Or have you ever been with a man? Those 5 will tell me everything I need to know. If I get a pause on any of them, it's a wrap. If it takes too long to answer, you got to contemplate, it's a wrap. So the communication for me, like, starts immediately. And like Nicole said, with me, you get 3 chances. You won't know. They can be subtle, but you get 3 strikes and you are out. We could be dating for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months. You get with me, you're innocent until you pretty much, you know, screw it up for yourself. Show up late too many times, not returning phone calls, unanswered text messages, all those things, it will end how it starts. So if a man starts out that way, that's how he's going to be throughout the duration of the relationship. And I don't really have time to play those kind of games. So communicate and regroup every 30 days.
I can see your point. I'm going to see your point. Because I am a man, I'm going to have to throw the flag on the field on some of that, what you just said. And in reference to the question, the top 5 questions that you have,
mm-hmm.
You had a couple in there that you're going to have men pause on just because that's not a typical question that you're going to hear.
Nowadays, yes, it is. Nowadays, absolutely. With how many men go to jail, come out of jail, have been incarcerated for long periods of time, you know, how many jail sentences are being turned over just because there's no room, that is absolutely, it may catch a man who is not into homosexuality off guard, and I would expect it to, but if you have to stop and contemplate for too long, bruh, if somebody asked me, you buy it? No, absolutely not. No, I didn't have, no, it wasn't with this one time with me and my roommate in college. No. So, I mean, I get it, but this day and age, you got to ask.
You do. And when you get to how many partners, do you have a limit that supposes, you know what, you had 7? Oh, that's too many.
No, I mean, I asked the last guy I dated how many casual partners he had, and he said he had 2. And so I asked him, I said, so, you know, where do they fall and, you know, where does that leave room for me? Like how, you know, are they somebody that you just sleep with in between relationships or do you like one of them and the other one is just, you know, every so often? I was trying to really wrap my mind around the concept of you're casually sleeping with 2 people. How are you even trying to pursue a relationship? And so once we kind of discussed that and touched on that, I just made my decision based on that alone. You don't have any room, you know, for me in your life, especially if you like one of them and the relationship just hasn't evolved. So, you know, continue with your casualness, and I'm going to be over here chilling. Yeah.
Andy, what it sounds like to me is Nikki is doing something that a lot of women and men should be doing, which is asking those difficult questions. And so a lot of times people tend to shy off because they allow fear to paralyze their voices. And so they don't ask those questions that are really prevalent and that they're thinking about. And something she said also with communication is true. Communication, a lot of times people just think it's a verbal communication, but over 75% of our communication is through nonverbal language. So gestures, our body language, our facial expressions that we make. And so you can learn a lot from that. And another part is just listening. Active listening is actually a part of communication. And too many times people are quick to speak and not enough times do they stop and actually pause and listen to what the other person is saying. When the person is talking, do you find yourself thinking about what your next response is going to be? And if you do that, how are you actually listening to what they're saying? You're going to lose a key part of what they're trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to go back and just ask that same question again to see if they can check you on it or if they answer it a different way.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You can reframe it. Ask them, okay, can you, what was that, paraphrase it? You can ask them, well, what, to make sure they caught the key concepts of what you were talking about. You can re-ask them that question just to see if they actually knew what you were saying or heard what you were saying.
Yes, indeed. So we know that communication is the key. Now, is it possible, ladies, because I'm going to go back to the phone lines here in a minute, but is it possible to say that your communication can be misinterpreted for something else? Like when you were talking, Nikki, you were talking about the different love languages. Is it possible that you need to grow your communication together because someone may not be used to that? Or should you already come in knowing how to communicate your feelings and your emotions?
That's a good question that you bring up. And a response to that would be, it's good to grow together. One, you have to talk about it. Because I may communicate one thing. Let's say if how I communicate with you, letting you know what I like is by telling you, or maybe it's by me doing subtle things for you, but you may see it as something else. So it is good to talk about what it is you're expecting, what things do you like, and she can talk about what things she likes, he can talk about what things he likes. And as you go together as a couple, you start to learn one another, but still continuously having that dialogue. When I say communication, I just mean dialogue, just talking with that person. It doesn't have to be one of those sit down, we need to talk. Because a lot of times when women say we need to talk, immediately men a lot of times become defensive and their red antenna goes up, boop, 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 uh-oh, I'm in trouble. This the talk we're talking about. So there's a different way that you can approach it, but just having that dialogue or recognizing if you're in a heated discussion, now bringing up something that's really key, is that person going to even be receptive when you're saying it? It doesn't have to be when you're arguing that you bring up a point, and that's why you don't listen this way and that way. Well, now that person's on the defensive. But just having a dialogue, when you're sitting there watching TV or you guys are just sitting on the couch or anytime when you have downtime, just talking about those things, dialoguing with each other, what makes you happy, what pleases you, what kind of things do you like, what kind of things, because what I consider to be romantic may be completely different with my husband. And vice versa. So he doesn't know if he stayed with several different women and none of the women cared about different types of holidays. They didn't care about Valentine's Day or their birthdays. So when he gets with me, he didn't know it was a big deal until I had to let him know, no, these are important things for me. So you can't hold the person accountable if you haven't dialogued and let them know something. And unfortunately, that happens a lot in relationships where we hold the other person responsible because they should have known what to do or how to respond when you haven't dialogued about it.
That's right. Okay, I'm hearing you, but you know what? I'm going to need some fellows to chime in on this, and because the ladies are getting riled up. They're putting a lot of pressure on the men. I'm holding back because I'm going to bust. And language. There are some people, when you talk about the relations of intimacy, you're right. Some people communicate a bit differently. So some level of romance for someone might be low lights, candles, and soft music. Mm-hmm. For someone else, be a shoestring, a feather duster, and a piece of chocolate.
That's true.
Everybody's going to be different. So let's get a different perspective, if you don't mind, ladies. 646-727-3279 is the number to the online happy hour tonight. We have a caller from Dallas, Texas, chiming in. Phone number ending in 6991. You're on the line with us tonight. Caller, who is this?
Hi, Andy. This is your resident poet, Tosh. Just want
to
chime in. How are you?
We're doing good, Tosh.
I hope you can hope you can hear me well, because I'm driving and calling on my cell, but I just kind of wanted to chime in about setting expectations in a relationship. I think that that's so vital, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why so many people feel that it's okay to get away with so many the things that they do in relationships is because no one's setting expectations. And then when
mm-hmm.
they leave their relationship, they go into another thinking, you know, why are you asking me to do this? Why are you expecting me to do that? Like it's become such the norm that it's okay to date two or three people at one time. You know, it's setting those expectations up front.
Absolutely spot on what she just said. It's setting those expectations, and too many people don't talk about that. They don't say what they're expecting. They don't have that discussion, and so they leave themselves open to whatever else the other partner or the other person is going to throw their way. And so they don't talk about what they're expecting, what I'm expecting you to bring to this relationship and what I'm expecting to bring to this relationship and what I'm expecting us to do together in this relationship, and they don't have that dialogue and discussion.
I totally agree. I actually had that experience probably about a month ago. I met someone, and I really, really liked him. And he was younger than me, so I was thinking, oh, this, you know, this won't go anywhere. But, you know, to my pleasant surprise, I mean, our conversation was great. The things we had in common were absolutely, everything was just perfect. And we had that conversation, and he actually asked me, you know, well, what do you expect from me? And I told him, I said, I want to date you. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. I want to, you know, go ice skating, and I want to go to the movies, and I want to lay up on the couch and watch TV. And so we had that discussion, and, you know, like a week later, he called and he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to give you what you want right now. Everything that I'm focused on is about my career, and I don't want to mislead you. So, you know, I can't give you what you're expecting. And I, you know, all I can do is respect that because he was honest.
I want to throw a flag on that one too, sweetheart. Do you really know why he said that?
I mean, I can speculate until the cows come home. I mean, maybe he couldn't meet my expectations, or maybe he wasn't ready for what I was ready for. But at the end of the day, the fact that he told me, you know, again, I talked to somebody 43 who didn't even have the cojones to do it, or at least to tell me. So out of respect, the fact that he told me that he couldn't do it, I respect that. But I would love to know why he told me.
Because he focused on his career, is that what he told you?
That's not why he said, that wasn't the main reason, but, you know, he, the type of work that he does, is, you know, high stress level, one of few African-American men at the firm, you know, just a lot of things was on his plate at the time. And so I understand if a man likes you and he wants you, you know, he'll make a way. But there are other men who have told me that, you know, a man really doesn't want to take on the responsibility of having a significant other in their life until they've got things in order for themselves. So, I mean, it could be either or, but, you know, I was, again, just out of the fact that he told me, I was cool with that.
Sometimes men will give you answers, but not the truth. Keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
That's true, and that's true in any case and in any situation, like what you just said, Andy. One of the things I'm hearing, Nikki, that you just said is, you know, looking at the response that the guy gave her, if he's telling her, look, I recognize what you said you need and what you're expecting, but at this point in my life right now, I'm unfortunately unable to give you those things and make that commitment. So instead of us going into this, dragging this relationship on, and then a few months or a year or two later, finding out, you know, let's call it quits, I'm going to be upfront and let you know I'm not available right now to do that. Maybe he's just not emotionally available at that moment, or he's just not able mm-hmm. to commit because of those other commitments that he has, which is his job and his career, trying to go for advancement. And he realizes that he doesn't have the time to get the serious move that he wants.
It's also going to be along with the fact that he ain't have any money.
That could be a
reason
also.
Mm. Yeah, I'm hoping that wasn't the reason, because I'm not that chick. You know, I'm the one with the buy one, get one free admission for the movies on the matinee. $5. Mm-hmm. What's up? And I got the snacks in my purse. So, you know, if I ever met someone and it was just about them not having, you know, money, the park is free all day. It's about me and you being able to spend time together. We'll grow to those things, you know, but the onset, just getting to know each other, I don't need you dropping a grip of money on me because I don't really need you expecting anything. So, again, the getting to know stages.
What you have to think about, too, and then Andy can back it up from the male's perspective is, with that said, the male is expectant when they're socialized. They're brought up to be able to make sure they have certain things going for them, particularly males who are raised with the men in the home, letting them know there are certain goals that you need to have accomplished when they're looking at getting to a certain type of relationship or we're looking at commitment level. So that's good. Mm-hmm. You're saying that, you know, you're not looking for him to have the money because you're not looking for him to pay. But on his aspect of with him being the male and his gender role, how would he feel then if you already are coming and you already have a lot on the plate that you're bringing and he doesn't have that amount? So that may, in a way, make him feel a little less of a man because he's not able to come and meet you at least halfway, part of the way, you know, there. So that may play a role also in that, too.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Oh, I can understand that. I hope that it would never be a deterrent for anybody to be in a relationship. You could miss out on a good person just because of what you think or, you know, how you feel or how you were raised to feel. I understand you have a role to play. It's not like you asking to pay your gas bill, put gas in your car. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I get it, though.
That's true. And men are still, you know, and women, but men are still trying to catch up with the evolution that women are now. We have a lot more women that are, you know, stepping to that independence, but you still do have men and women who are still more into the traditional roles. And so they're having a more difficult time with coming up to play with how the advancement and how things are changing now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can I chime in real quick?
I'm sorry?
Just want to. Oh, this is Tosh.
Okay.
I just want to piggyback on. I believe it's Nikki. Just some things that Nikki mentioned that, you know, more than anything, I want to be able to respect a man's honesty up front. And I think what happens in so many relationships is, and particularly on the male side, I mean, I'm sure it happens on the female side as well, but he's not honest about what he really wants. And, you know, he's just misleading. And then the woman has spent months and time and years into something that she thinks is growing into a real relationship, but this man really had no intentions of ever committing. He had no intentions of ever doing anything. So I can appreciate a man or a brother telling me up front, let me make that decision on whether or not I want to continue to be involved or continue to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Tosh is speaking, and for those of you all who don't know, Tosh is an outstanding spoken word artist here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I definitely recommend that you check her out on Facebook and look at her information. I believe Tosh is going to come back to Brooklyn's with us next month. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, we'll be talking a little bit more about that in the future. But hold that thought, ladies. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We've heard from, you know, Nikki in Detroit. We've heard from Tosh here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Let's go to Georgia. Everybody's calling whose football team just ain't getting it done here the playoffs and in the NFL. So let's get to the hot Atlanta, Georgia. We have a caller who's on the line, phone number ending in 5688. You're on the line with the online happy hour. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Classy in Atlanta.
How you doing, brother? Thank you for chiming in tonight.
I appreciate it. I just want to suggest something.
I'm not going to try to dominate, no time,
but I just want to suggest something in everything that I've heard. it's a sad thing going on where you have one set of guys who hold on to who they are as men, and you have another set of guys that are slowly being dragged into what used to be the women role. Mm-hmm. So you have in everything most of the ladies said, one of the things that stood out is I always say, especially here in Atlanta, you have a lot of men who are becoming the new women. Mm. But you have a lot of women who want to do the picking as men have normally done because they're successful, but don't mm-hmm. want the ramifications of how they picked. And men learned a long time ago that when they pick, they need to pick something that isn't necessarily the hottest on the block, but that suits their home needs. But sadly, most ladies have not learned that yet. They're still picking the hottest thing on the block, and it bites them every time. So you do have a lot of people falling into that category. I look at Vivica Fox. I think she's on her probably seventh young that she's trying to turn into a responsible brother. So when you constantly have that going on, it's just harder and harder.
Outstanding. Hey, man, I love the voice. I appreciate you chiming in. Ladies, what do you think about what the brother had to say about the role reversal, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm going to totally disagree.
Really?
And I only say that because I understand that there's been this whole evolution with women, specifically black women in corporate America, being able to come in and make the money and, you know, have our own. But at the end of the day, I don't know what – you shouldn't expect anything less from me. No, I'm not the sister running around singing, you know, Miss Independent, I got my own. But at the age of 30, late 20s, anything, what am I supposed to have? If I am not married, what am I supposed to have? I'm supposed to have my own home. I'm supposed to have my own car. I'm supposed to have my own savings account, my own 401k. I'm supposed to be having all of those things. Now, I'm not going to put a man in a situation where I emasculate him and throw those things up in his face. But if I'm a responsible person, I'm supposed to have those things going on. And as far as the role reversals, I'm just going to say it's time for men and women to learn how to relate to each other on another level. The whole thing of you're the woman, this is your role, stay in your lane, you're the man, this is your role, stay in your lane, those days are gone. So now we are faced with the challenge of trying to learn how to be in a relationship, just be. Not I'm in a relationship with you because you look like you can keep home. Not I'm in a relationship with you because, oh, you can go out and earn the money and bring it home. That we're past those stages now, and we have to learn how to relate to each other as human beings, not as men and women who are basically trying to come up with a marriage masked as a business proposal masked as a marriage. And you have a lot of people who do that. We need to learn how to connect fundamentally with each other on a human level, no more, no less. The whole, you know, men slide into roles and this, that, and the third, we have to learn how to relate to each other, period.
Well, one of the things I want to just touch on what Nikki just said, which is he said relating as humans, that's a great concept in being able to do that. The unfortunate thing is, and you know how she's saying with evolving and changing, a lot of things have changed, and we do look at different types of role reversals. But the unfortunate thing is when I'm looking at the research and we're looking at how with the five major institutions of how we're socialized in our society, gender is very important. Everything they do is we have gender identities and gender identities with how we define certain things. So it's really unfortunate because whether you're looking at school, religion, you're looking at the government, everyone is teaching us what kind of roles we are to have. Now, as we're transitioning and we're seeing difference, yeah, we're having more opportunities for women. We're letting women know you don't just have to stay at home. You can work. You can have it both ways. And also we're telling men that you can also be the person to stay at home. You can be more involved and committed to your family. You don't have to just be one way. But with being able to relate, it's just unfortunate because of how the reality is with gender being very important, and a lot of times gender-specific things are identified. And so, I mean, it's really difficult to take gender out of it. it would be great if you're looking at the aspect how with how she's saying it in an utopia, but unfortunately how we have in our society, gender is very specific. When you have women still making 70% or 80% on the dollar that a man makes, when you still have those things, when you're having the discrimination in the workplace based upon gender, based upon race. That's just the harsh realities of the society that we reside in. So it would be great if we were able to just do away and look at it as, okay, you're a human, I'm a human, let's see what we have together. But unfortunately, with how we're raised in society and socialized, that's not typically the case.
And I agree with everything Nicole just said. I guess I lucked out by having a mother and a father in a home who the roles varied. You know, my dad didn't have boys. He had two girls. And one day our lawn just looked like a hot mess. And so I told my sister, I was like, let's go cut the grass. So we got out there, cut the grass, and I loved it. My dad bought trimmers and everything. My sister and I were out there cutting the grass once a week. I think I was like in 11th grade. My sister's in the 7th grade. And my dad was just like, I never knew you guys like yard work. And I'm like, well, neither did we. But then at the end of the night, I would still go in the kitchen and cook with my mother. And so there were times when my father was laid off from work. You know, the 80s in Michigan were just like they are, just like it is now. So, you know, my mom would get up, go work two jobs. My dad was home with us. My mother didn't love him any less. Times was just tight. So I guess I lucked out by just seeing two people who were married trying to keep it together. My dad was at home. He wasn't the greatest cook, but we ate every night. So, I mean, it just wasn't them things where I was like, I swear if he make chicken and rice one more time, I'm going to pass out. But, you know, he was there in place of my mom who was fortunate enough to have a job at that time. So I guess I just lucked out with seeing, you know, men and women take on different roles. It didn't make him anything, any less of a man. My father was the manliest man I've ever met. Never seen him cry. And, you know, not that that makes you a man, but just that whole old school, you know, from the South thing. And, you know, I didn't look at either one of them in any different light at all.
And what Nikki just said is really what it sounds like in her family, that she was very fortunate. We have more families now that are moving towards this way, but not it being the majority, is egalitarian, where you have an equal distribution of labor when we're talking about what's inside the home. So you're taking it where it doesn't have to just be the woman who cooks and cleans. It doesn't just have to be the man who does the yard work. They're actually distributing that equally between the people in the relationship. And so you are seeing more of that today. I would love to see more of that, but you do have some relationships still where it's more masculine or it's more feminine when we look at who's the one that tends to have certain types of roles. So that is good, Nikki, that you were able to experience that in your home.
Well, ladies, with that in mind, I'm going to ask the question before I get back to the phone lines again. Are we really setting false expectations in the relationship? Because we're talking about marriage is a mirage and I'm not ready, or if I am not ready. Let's think about that. Is based on what we're talking about here, is the gamut of the bar just set maybe a little bit too high or really unrealistic? I need to know that from your point of view. And I'm going to go to the chat room here in just a moment, but I want to address the people that are watching right now on justin.tv/howwasyourweekend. If you all can see my facial expressions on what these ladies are talking about, then you would know that this topic is going to be out of control. So the callers, please chime in. Feel free to talk on it. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number here on the online happy hour. So I want to bring this question, and Nikki, if you don't mind, I want to bring this back to Nicole because she's the, you know, this is what she does for a living, and I'm pretty intrigued as what kind of advice and what kind of information, and if you would just follow up a little bit behind that. And I want to thank the brother from Atlanta for coming in on this topic. So, Nicole, let's talk about that. I mean, are we setting false expectations just based on the conversation we're having tonight? Mm-hmm. Do women just think, you know, I need this much from my man, and he's not giving it to me, so therefore this ain't real, or I'm expecting her to be this kind of woman, I'm not getting that from her, so she must not be all that?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a good question you bring, because in my profession, what I find is that's just the case, that there are unrealistic expectations that a lot of people have. And so they don't really talk about what they want, or they have this ideal of how they think it will be.
And a lot of times they're basing those ideals on TV, what they see and how they feel it's supposed to be versus how it, the actuality of how it really is. And so they don't have that discussion, so they already make a lot of assumptions. So not just the unrealistic expectations, but they have assumptions, and they forget about the daily life functions that go along with being in a relationship. They forget that every day the person may not be in the best of moods. They forget that that person may not want to talk about certain things at that moment. And they may come into that relationship with some false ideals of what they think a marriage should be and have those in their head and really don't discuss it with the person. And then when the person fails to meet those expectations, then they're upset. But they hadn't even talked about it with the person about what they were expecting. So that can happen, unfortunately. And I see that time and time again in my practice is, well, I thought this. You were supposed to be this way. But when I get down to the root cause and the nitty-gritty of it, they never, ever had that discussion about what they were expecting. And their expectations a lot of times far exceeded the realities of what that person could do, could bring, and would give to that relationship. And that's the unfortunate thing.
So why not let it be known up front? All right, this is who I am. This is what I got. Is that too much? Is that too much like, right? This is what I'm expecting of you. If I get something a little bit more later on down the line, that's just to be connected. But I want to see you where you're at right now. Is that too much to ask for?
It may be because you have some women, or it can be males, but I typically will say because it's what I find it to be is more so with the women is they don't want to appear to be too aggressive. So if a woman says certain things, it's considered aggressive versus being assertive for some reason. And so they may not want to scare that other person off. Or the man also, he may feel, well, I'm not certain exactly what I'm expecting. I want someone just to be there to love me, certain things. So he may not even know how to even put into words what he is expecting, because one of the things that I found that's really big in my practice is that sense of vulnerability that a lot of men have a difficult time with opening up themselves and really showing something where they consider to be vulnerable or showing that side. And so that may be a conversation that he's just not ready to have, or he may trick himself into thinking, oh, you know, whatever she gives, or have a certain basis that may be more surface level and really not getting beneath that and getting beyond that because of those fears or those vulnerabilities that he's not ready to expose himself or open or willingly admit. And with the women, it's just the opposite, where they may still be fearful of saying exactly what it is they mean or what they want, because what if I'm asking for too much? What if I scare him off? I don't want to become too abrasive or have him look at me in a negative light. So I'll just say a little bit and then pull back and see how the response is.
That's just part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take that. Don't slow your roll just based on somebody being laying next to you in your bed just because you're lonely and sick of it. I can't believe that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Unless, Nikki, you had something to say on that?
No, I just wanted to say that sometimes, you know, the word expectation can almost sounds as if there's a buildup, so to speak. So sometimes when people are in a relationship, they may not know. And you can't always, you know, can you fault the person for not knowing? Maybe yes, maybe no, but it may not be until you're in that relationship, that experience, like if you're a newly married couple and you may have come from a home where maybe your parents didn't own a home, never bought one. So by the time you actually got into a marriage and, you know, your husband wanted to buy a home or whatever, you're looking like, oh, my God, am I ready for this? You know, in a perfect world, everybody's like, yeah, are you crazy? Buy a home. That's what married couples do. They buy homes. But if you are not used to that experience, it's almost kind of like, well, I don't know. And then you don't want to shy away from it because you look as if, you know, you're running from responsibility, if that makes sense. So you may not even know what you are actually expecting until you're in it. So, I mean, I've seen that happen a couple of times in marriages. So you almost don't know until you get, again, back to the communication, talking about what you all expect for your relationship and not making it so cookie cutter that just because that's what you come from.
Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all, go with this. Let me go back to the phones real quick. We got some
Andy, can I quickly?
I'm sorry.
Andy, this is Nicole. Can I quickly make a comment to that? And then, unfortunately, my class is about to start, and I have over 34 students waiting for me to go into class and start it. So I'm going to have to end with this this last note with what Nikki just said, which is when some people don't know what to expect or what their expectations are in a marriage. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of us don't talk about it. Or even when we were with people, our families that were married and we saw marriage, we really still didn't have that conversation of what should I expect going into a marriage. When I'm talking about expectation, I'm looking at what would you like to happen or to occur, and then just exploring that with the person, because it is true that can happen when you may not, some people may not know what they're expecting because they never really had that discussion. And what I always just say is don't allow fear to paralyze your voice, because if you do, then you can't be upset for what you end up getting. And with that, I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for this evening. I enjoyed the conversation. This is Nicole Arcady. You can catch me on ArcadianSolutions.com and pick up the book, Frustrated Wives, Confused Husbands, What Happens When There's a Lack of Communication in the Marriage. And I will definitely make sure I chime in to listen to the rest of this stimulating conversation that is going on this evening.
Nicole, it has been awesome. Thank you for being a part of the show today. And for those of you all who are on the Blog Talk Radio website, if you go to the page and you see the links, you'll definitely see a little bit of information about Nicole, who she is and what she has going on in California. We're going to thank Nicole for giving an hour of her time tonight. So let's go back to the phone lines, Nikki, and bring them in. We were going to go out to California, and I believe that's Dawn on the line. Dawn, are you with us tonight on the happy hour?
I'm here. How are you doing this evening?
Doing good, doing good. Say hello to Nikki for me.
Hello, Nikki.
Hey, how you doing, Dawn?
Doing well, doing well.
All the way out in California, you've been hearing the topic tonight, marriage is just a mirage if I am not ready. What are your thoughts on what you've heard tonight, Dawn?
What I've heard so far is I did want to agree about the comment about expectation maybe not being the right word, because it does imply there's some sort of a buildup. But I think really at the core of any expectation is what you're needing and wanting. And if you haven't told the person what you need or want, you can't really assume that that's what you're going to get. And I think it goes back to the whole marriage license deal. That's a joke. It's just, you know, a system in which, you know, monetary funds are exchanged. But just with any other type of license, I mean, there's some sort of competency or understanding of what it is that you are going to be doing with this privilege. And I think that needs to be a part of the marriage process. And if anybody can't see the necessity for that with, you know, more than 50% divorce rate, I don't understand, you know, why it's not something that has become part of the process. The fact that there needs to be communication needs to be put out there, because like you said, there are people who grew up in homes with marriages where there wasn't communication, and they might have known that there was an issue with the marriage, or, you know, that couple may have kept their issues to themselves and nobody knew that there were problems. So you see, there's no communication there. They're fine. So therefore, if we don't have communication, we should be fine too. So I just feel like the whole process of going into a marriage needs to really be looked at, it and helping couples understand what it is that they're getting into and figuring out, you know, what those tools are that they will, that will help them have a successful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can definitely understand that, and I can agree with that. It's necessary, because you can't fix you. You know, Don brings up a good point. You just can't, you need that help. You need that counseling for that outside person to come in, because you might think you have it all together, but you might really have it all wrong, and somebody come in from an outside perspective to give you the look and to say, you know what, this is how it can be done. It's been successful this way. Probably gonna have to learn from that. The ladies are beating me up tonight on the phone. I can't understand it. I had one brother call in. Man, I appreciate you, bro. Let's take it all around the country and come on back, not to Texas right now. But let's go ahead and go to the Midwest, the infamous E-Dub with the 913 in the great state of Kansas City. Kansas, are you there, E?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Talk to me, man. Happy New Year to you.
Man, Happy New Year to the people, man. You know what I'm saying? I've been like sidewalk fed. I've been everywhere, so I ain't been able to get at the show. been seeing my boy, you know, prayers going out to my boy Rick and all that, or whatever. And I've been listening to the people. I've been listening to the people, man, and everybody right. But we were talking about the expectations, right?
Right.
And this is just my opinion and my bottom line opinion only. The expectations is the bottom line that get in the way, because a lot of these brothers, they try to turn these women. No, let me just call it out right. Try to turn these hoes into housewives. And you can't do that shit. And then a lot of these women try to turn these bitch-ass niggas into they men, and they can't do that shit. Call a spade what the fuck it is. Nigga, if you got a motherfucking Trump spade on the motherfucking table, you play that motherfucker. If you don't, you back up, walk away. Quit trying to change these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Quit expecting all this bullshit out of these niggas, and you know you can't get it. You know what I'm saying? What kind of shit is that? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand it. Maybe I can get some help. I might need therapy. But I know one thing. This is some stupid-ass shit. Turn the hoe into a housewife.
But you know what? It's a lot of brothers that do that, man, and they just they have a false expectation. Okay, if she's putting it on me like this, if she's doing these things for me, you know,
hey,
this gonna be my ace.
Let me tell you something, man. All it did was feel good that one time, and they think they can chase that and get that again and lock it down. Nope, you ain't the first, and you sure ain't gonna be the last. Keep it moving.
All right, well, E, stay on the line for me, E. I want to come in and go back to some more callers on the line. Stay right there. We're going to come back to you. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. I'm going to take it out with area code of 786, and I have no idea where this person is calling from, but that's okay. I know they're going to tell us right now. You're calling from the area code of 786, caller. You're on the line. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Mike,
I live in Miami.
What's up? I need to be in Miami.
Yeah,
that's why I'm in that area code. I'm going to come down there and check it out. What's going on, Mike? Talk to us about the topic tonight.
Yeah, what everyone's saying, you know, it sounds, you know, like looking at a tree, right? There's the roots and there's the branches. What everyone's talking about here, they're trying to figure out how the tree grows by looking at the branches. You know, we got to get to the root of the problem. Which my man, he basically said, you know, pretty much what the root is, kind of. But it starts off with knowing who you are as an individual. You know, you have a lot of people trying to get in a relationship, but they don't even know who they are themselves. You know, you have people saying, oh, I need a man, or the dude saying, oh, I need a girl. Well, they don't even know how to be by themselves. You know, you can't be by yourself and be comfortable with being by yourself. Then how are you going to be with anyone else? You know, it just won't work out that way. You know, and that's why the relationships are bad, because people are so uncomfortable with being by themselves that they'll get with someone and they'll be relying on this person to be this way and that way and this way, and because they're confused. You know, when you know who you are, you know what you accept. You know what you will accept, and you know what you won't accept. So by knowing who you are, it solves all of those problems. You'll see it from the start. When you know who you are, if someone drinks alcohol, you'll be like, okay, I don't like this person, they're drinking alcohol. You know, when you know who you are, if someone says, you know, someone starts using bad words, you're like, okay, I'll like a person who's using bad words. I'm not going to be with this person. If a girl is wearing a short skirt, you know, showing her booty, showing her breasts and cleavage, all that stuff, you know, out to the public, you're like, okay, I don't like that girl. I don't like girls who do this, so I'm not going to get with that. You know, but the problem is that most people don't know who they are, because most people stay living in their comfort zone. And if you're always in your comfort zone, there's nowhere for you to learn what you will accept and what you won't accept until you get to a situation, and you're gonna react to a situation negatively because you don't know who you are. You know, so that's the root of the problem starts by looking at yourself in the mirror. That's why I like that song from Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, because it says, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. You know, a lot of people here are trying to look at other people. You know, say, oh, this person has that flaw, this person has that flaw, this person has this flaw. No, let's look at our own flaws. You know, let's look at what flaws we have. So if we have a flaw in ourselves, we should know that we want that for, we will not want that flaw in another person.
Right.
You know, this is, and a lot of people, they forget that. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like when people do this, but yet they're doing it themselves. You know, a bunch of hypocrites. You can't, you know, you cannot do that, you know. And that's one of the key problems here in Miami. I see it so much. I used to live in San Diego, too. You know, I used to live in San Diego, and now I live here in Miami. And just that's the root of mostly all the problems in the world. Once you connect this one thing of knowing yourself to every other situation in the world, then you'll see that life is easy once you know who you are. Once you get outside of that bubble, test yourself, knowing what you will do and what you won't do in certain situations, knowing what you like and what you don't like, then none of these problems will exist. Because when you know what you will like, when you know what you like and you know what you don't like, you will not get with someone that has a lot of things that you do not like because it's not rational. You know, so yeah, a lot of people, you know, getting on this and talking some good stuff. But, you know, just like a tree, I can't look at a tree and look at how the tree grows by going into the branches. No, I like to go to the root. You know, with medicine, I like preventative medicine. I don't like to get sick first and then, oh, shoot, let me do this, let me do that. No, let me see how I can prevent myself from getting sick. Right? So with relationships, let me see how I can prevent getting myself in a bad relationship. Okay, let me figure out what it is that I really like for me. You know, a lot of people are told they should like this type of girl or that type of guy. The guy has to dress like this, the girl has to dress like that. You know, so a lot of people don't have their own mind because, you know, through education and through, you know, domestication from the family, it's pretty much, you know, a lot of people don't know who they are, and it's not their fault, you know. It's just because of the way that we're taught. And unless you're aware that, you know, most people are still in the matrix, if you want to relate it to that, you know, then you start seeing all the little problems, then you start seeing, you start being like, okay, let me look at myself. I can't talk about anybody else until I look at myself and get out all the flaws that I have. You know, that's why in the story in the Bible where everyone was talking about the whore with Jesus and stuff, Jesus said, for anyone who has not sinned, be the first person to cast the stone. Right? No one cast the stone because everyone was a sinner. You know, it's funny how much people want to look at other people with their flaws instead of looking at themselves. So that's all I'm saying. We have to look at ourselves. We have to look at the man in the mirror, like Michael Jackson says, you know, and be the change we want to see in the world and be the change we want to see in the relationship as well. So, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Hey, well, you said a mouthful, brother. I mean, you came with it. You know, even with the Michael Jackson reference, brother, Shimon with that. I mean, you did that. That's the truth about it. We have to take a look at ourselves in the mirror and really see who we want to be before we accept and want to bring somebody else into this drama and this lifestyle or whatever it is we got going on in our house. Because I'm pretty sure half of the people that are chiming in tonight who are going to listen to the podcast and people in the chat room, and even those looking on Blog Talk, but Justin TV as well, you got some things in a drawer in your house somewhere that you need to clean out. You got to get that thing in order. Clean out your house. Clean your closet out. Clean something. Get yourself together so you can make room for something in somebody else. Because a lot of us don't take the time to do that. Kind of piggybacking on what my man in Miami said, you know, if you get an understanding of who you are, take a little bit of time to be by yourself and figure out, okay, well, this is who I am. This is what I like to do even when I'm by myself. When I feel like I want to go out and have a good time, these are the kind of things that I like to do. And put yourself in that atmosphere rather than accepting somebody like, well, that's what they want to do, I'm going to go do it, and you're miserable, you're unhappy, you're driving yourself crazy, you're gaining weight. Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. I don't understand that, you know, because people do it. I kind of have myself caught up in that situation before, but you kind of wake up and be like, you know what? It's time to really step out of this and just be real and accept what's going on. So I want the callers and the bloggers, I want to say thanks for those listening, man. We going to go on and get real with it. One more call before we wrap it up, Nikki. That dude is on the line right now. I'm sorry?
No, I'm good.
I'm
good.
Talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, fam? How y'all doing? Sorry, ended late, had conference calls and stuff. I just have a question for everyone, you know what I'm saying, speaking of how situations going in African American community. What is the real hurry to get married? Why is it a hurry? I might have missed it or something, but what's the hurry?
they say the best things come to those who wait. And, I mean, if you're looking for something for a lifetime, what's the hurry? Why do you have to get married because you got your degree and that's the next step? Why are you not trying to live your life first and then get married? What's the real hurry? Why? Because to me, what I'm seeing from all the people that are getting divorced, they rushed into it. You know, I mean, if you love going out and kicking it, why don't you go out and kick it and get it out your system? Then move to that next level. Instead of trying to get mad, say, hey, man, I need you to help me get out the house real quick. But, you know, you put yourself with that woman situation. And then in women, you know, you see this chick and you liking her, but she's always got her girls communicating and gossiping. Let her enjoy that time with her girls. Because when you get married, it's not the people outside, it's you two. And you have to build that bond. So, I mean, it's just something to think about, you know. What's the hurry to get married? If it's for a lifetime, just do everything you need to do to make sure it is going to be for a lifetime.
All right. Well, Keenan, sit right here. You're about to get that answer. We're going to give it to you in this way. We're going to let Nikki chime in just in a minute or less, Nikki, if you don't mind, because we're coming to the tail end of the show. I'm going to let E-Dub hit it right after Nikki, and then I'm going to chime in and tell you the real. So let's go ahead. Ladies first. Nikki, you want to answer Keenan's question?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand and agree with the perspective. But on average, a person gets 75 Christmases in a lifetime. Now, when you say, oh, a person lives to be 75 sounds like a long time, it's really not. And time is really, really precious. So I don't think that people are necessarily in a rush to get married. I think, and I'm not saying those people don't exist, but I do think that there may be a yearning and a desire to want to have a life partner. Now, the whole analogy about going out and getting it out, kicking it and getting it out your system, you really don't get stuff like that out of your system. It may bore you, but you don't really get the whole wanting to be on the scene out of your system. You may grow out of it, and you may come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm a man, so it's time to put childish things away. But those things, you don't really get bored of those things. So the analogy that somehow, you know, sow your wild oats, and then once you're done with that, then get married, no, because you've given your livelihood to the world. Now you want to bring it to me half-assed. I'm simply saying that figure out who you are as a person first, and if marriage is for you, regardless as to what age you are, if you're committed and you're in love with the person and you're ready to stick it out and get past all the warm and fuzzies of, you know, a so-called marriage and really be in it for the long haul, then do it. But if you decide to wait and that's the best thing for you, by all means. But time is extremely precious, and I've already had 36 Christmases. I'm trying to at least make the next 36 with a husband. So not that I'm in a rush, but I am expecting him, hopefully sooner than later.
Well, Nikki answered that question from the female perspective. E-Dub, I know you're there, my man, the Midwest greatest. E-Dub is on the line. E, you want to chime in to follow up on that, answer Keenan's question?
Yeah, man. Hey, from what my man said, my man was straight on point, because I'm the same way. What you rushing for? For real, what you rushing for? You know, I just got married. That's just my personal preference. I just got married, and I'm, you know what I'm saying, don't worry about it. I just turned 44, but it's all good. But I just got married last year. So I'm happy. I felt that was my perfect time, because I got all that all ripping and running out of me and got all mine out, found me a nice young lady that I could settle down with. So I agree with my man. I don't know what
Can
the rush
is.
How old she is? She's a year younger than me.
Okay.
She's 43. But this is her second marriage.
Okay.
This is my first. See what I'm saying? I had to do what was right for me. You know what I'm saying? So I can't rush in to do all that. Now, on the behalf of those that believe in that, I did live with a young lady for 13 years, and in the state of Kansas, you are considered married, although I don't really consider that, you know, like that. Because my house, if you live with me, you're in my house, this is my house, you brought your things, you can take your things and move out of, you know. It's automatically a prenup. But once you get married, it ain't no prenup no more. You know what I'm saying? Unless you sign them papers. And I ain't got no money like Usher to sign no papers. And I'm happy. I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? But on that same note, to each their own, you know what I'm saying? Live and let live, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I do mine one way. Don't make theirs mean that theirs is the wrong way. So, you know, to everybody, live and let live, man. Because, man, life, man, I done found out tripping on a lot of shit now, man. Life is too short for this bullshit, man.
Mm-hmm.
For us to be tripping on. And black folks, as black folks anyway, our health is bad anyway. So to compound all this old worldly bullshit, shit that you can't control or shit that's just out of your hands, you're worried about it and all that, and being your health bad and all this old stuff, man, you're going to have to pick which one you're going to live with. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, every black folk out there, I don't give a damn how much money they got, they still got problems. They worried about how much money they keeping, they going to keep. And these other black folks is worried about where they going to get the money to pay their damn bills. So, you know, everybody got problems. Everybody live life, man. And be happy. Just smoke weed.
Right. But E, that's my man, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, E-Dub comes with it each and every time he calls to the show. I just want to say, Keenan, you know, you just never know, man. You got to kind of know your own clock. So if your vibe is out kicking and doing your thing and that's what you want to do, that's what you do. But if you know that, you know, right now is the time, hey, well, you know what, I need to bring somebody else in my life. I'm ready to open up that door and share with somebody. Man, that's what you do. You know, I myself, you know, a lot of the callers and the folks in the chat room don't even know this, but when I was married, for that little brief stint I was married, I didn't even know I was married. Because I did it just because I was like, you know what, situation tight, I'm uncomfortable. Let me go and connect with this chick real quick and make it right. It stuck. Being unhappy. Then I realized, you know what? This ain't me. I didn't plan to do this. This ain't how it's supposed to go down like this. I had to get up out of there, dust that off, and then do me for real and be like, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I need in my life before I connect to somebody else. I need to have these things in order because you just can't connect to each and everybody. It's not right. It's not healthy. Like he said, it's not healthy, man. There's too much going on with your body out there. So, generational things, diet, the sugar babies, the high blood pressure, all that kind of stuff. You don't need all that extra things weighing on your body, weighing on your mind. So you got to take that into consideration. But when it's time for you to really make that step and connect to somebody, you'll be ready. You'll be mentally ready. You'll be spiritually ready. Hopefully, you'll take the time to be financially ready. But just as we've been saying, you know, with Nikki and Miss Nicole Arcady, we're going to communicate because that's what it really takes. If you're not ready to open that person in, open up and bring them into your life, don't do it. Don't force it. It just doesn't make sense. Regardless of if you're 25, 35, 45, or 85, so you'll know when it's time because you'll put that order those steps and get yourself ready for that position. Like my man Ricky and McKee are going to do this weekend. They've taken those steps. They know when it's time. So I know your ups and downs. You know my ups and downs. You know my strengths. I know your weaknesses and vice versa. Because now we said that we've done this on our own. This is what we've accomplished. Now it's time to move to the next level together. So you want to keep that in mind before you create the mirage or the illusion because you may see all your friends getting married. That's what you need to do. You need to be the one to catch the garter or be the one to catch the bouquet. Not that serious. Out of fashion because you're putting your life, lifestyle, and then if there's any children that's going to be involved, you're affecting others as well. So you may want to take that into consideration. So this has just been one of the greatest and awesome shows. We're going to keep pumping the reel, pumping it back at you, ladies and gentlemen, because this is what we do. Know every Wednesday night, you're going to get the real deal. Go on Facebook if you follow us, how was your weekend? Chime in on the page and tell us what you think about the show. If there's a topic that you want to talk about, reach out to us. We may have you as a guest host on the show because if you feeling it, trust me, we're going to be feeling it. And that's just how we get down, y'all. You know it's bad stock up in here. Check out the website, howwasyourweekend.com, spelled was with a Z. Also, be sure to let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. We're doing big things in Dallas, Texas. We've had the callers chime in California, Nikki in Detroit. We've had them call in from Miami, Kansas City. I know how we get down. It's a happy hour. Who don't have a good time at the happy hour? Also, keep in mind that available is the book, Second Place Win, Come In First. This is going to be for you. You know, a lot of conversation and a lot of ideas were taken down to make this a reality. Some people can look at you and say, there's no way you wrote a book, bro. I know you, man. But if I take the time and I listen to the advice that people are giving on the show and I listen to some of the things internally that I've gone through, you never know, man. The tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Write the vision down, make it plain, man. You'll never know what you can do. I encourage you, man, to support the show, support the book, support us as doing big things not only in Dallas-Fort Worth, but coming to a city near you. We're going to be doing some things in Kansas City in March of this year, and we're looking to travel nationwide and do some other things with the online happy hour as well. So keep that in mind. I just want to say thank you to everybody who chimed in tonight, Ms. Nicole Arcady in California. Take a look at her link on the page, howwasyourweekend, or blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Check her information out if you're in California. Get a little bit more marital advice. You don't know whether you're going out, whether you're coming in, or whether you're somewhere in between. Give her a call. Check her out. And also make sure to get a copy of her book as well. Do a little bit of reading together. So I also want to reemphasize that you're going to see the Realness 101, Ms. O'Meara Brown's information right there as well. And I also want you to take a part that each and every week, our topics get hotter. Each and every week, the conversation is going to get intense. So speaking of intense, we talked about the subject of relationships. We're going to stay on that because it builds us together. Communication and relationships is the foundation of this whole thing. Keep in mind, when the happy hour, we're going to talk about trust, something we can live with or something that you only give a little bit of. It's going to be the topic. We're going to spin that a little bit. Look for that information on Blog Talk. Look for the information on, and look for the information via text as we chime in and talk about that. It has been a wonderful show. We're going to keep the party going. We're going to keep the music playing as we do it like we do here on the happy hour. So on behalf of my callers, the listeners, the fans, the bloggers, everyone watching on Justin.TV, everyone listening at Blog Talk Radio, and everyone in the chat room as well, I want to say thank you for everyone who participated tonight. Because of you, the show is what it is, and it gets better and better each week. On behalf of my frat, I want to say go mob. I want to say a big shout-out to Ricky Williams and Makia Butler. They're going to tie the knot, y'all, this weekend. It's going to be their wedding day. She's your queen. I all that. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Marital bliss is my homeboy. Congratulations, bro. This is going to be the big one for you. Phi Beta Sigma going to represent. I want to say thank you for listening tonight. Good night to the family. Go mob to the frat. And we gone. How was your weekend? And next week, 8 o'clock p.m., Central Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com. How was your weekend? Was with the Z, ladies and gentlemen. We out of here. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.